This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Here we are on the day three of Magic Live, and I say day three. It's always kind of mixed up to me because Sunday is called day one, but really we just kind of register that day and have a big party and everything. But the activities really began yesterday as far as all of the things that had happened, and you heard some of those things we had in conversations with some of the folks yesterday. I'm here with one of my friends of the Magic Word and good friend, Daniel Will. How are you this morning, then, Daniel?
I'm awake.
Well, and I'm so glad you are. I am as well. I got a little bit of sleep last night. You were saying that the bar over here was full and
it
loud.
It was full. I left at midnight. And
two the night before you, so.
Yeah, two the night before. And I know somebody who didn't leave there till 5 a.m. this morning. And they're still sleeping.
Well, that's why I had to get this podcast out. So I was a good boy. I went back. But tonight I'm going to come back down after I finish wrapping this up over here. Yesterday we had a full day of activities, and that's why I wanted to just kind of recap a few of the things that happened. Plus, by the time that I closed last evening's podcast, we really didn't go into last evening's activities, the things that happened. But as far as the general session, tell me how.
I thought it was a great first general session opening. I think Master Payne just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
It was a great way to just kick the whole thing off. And as usual, his PowerPoint presentations are hilarious.
I have to say I will never forget that words of wisdom. I will never have a show, or I'll never have, what was that to me, props that I will have to go back to the car for a second trip.
Yeah, that's right. One trip to the car, that's it.
Good advice.
Or from the car.
From the car, that's right, that's right. I thought that Luis de Matos just really,
yes.
What a brilliant presentation that was.
Yes, that was, I very much enjoyed that. I don't know a lot about the gentleman, but to hear him speak and to see what he did was just phenomenal. The more a backwards approach to what everybody else did and was successful.
Yeah, well, they say backwards because when we had lockdown, he actually went into doing live shows, and then he did a blended show, and then when we were kind of back, he started doing virtuals.
Yeah, I think it would have been awesome to be in that parking lot in a car watching that.
Yeah. Well, I remember that Nate Bargatze and other comedians actually had, and I think some bands. You're in a band. I mean, some bands actually did.
We did in 2021, we actually did a parking lot drive-in show.
Okay.
And we convinced the we convinced the promoter to, because we set up all our equipment and everything, and we convinced them to have a second night so we didn't have to tear it down right away.
Well, then let's see, we had the focus groups, and
yes,
we had Joshua J and Mike Caveney and Christopher T. Magician. Which ones did you see?
I went to Josh's first,
yep.
and that was, boy, that went fast.
Yeah.
He just laid that out there, but his stuff's going to be in the notes. And then I went to Michael Weber's Rediscovering Wonder,
mm-hmm.
where he took some just old classic items.
And it has a new twist on it.
Has a new twist. Yeah. I very much enjoyed the, oh, I can't think of the name of that effect.
The color?
No, the...
Oh, you mean the rainbow?
Yeah, the what we know is a boomerang effect.
Right.
But there's a name for that, some scientist, and with the rulers.
Yeah.
And that was just phenomenal.
I understand that Christopher T. Magician was talking more about family things. I was talking with Trixie Bond, who was saying, yeah, that she attended that, and it was more about children and entertaining kids and things, so...
Yes, which
something
I think...
for everybody, you know?
Yeah, and I think they had a real good time in that room. Because
yeah.
When I walked by, there was toilet paper all over the place, cards all over the place. I mean, there was a party in there.
Just like it would be at a regular kids
yes.
show, I guess. As far as the evening goes, did you see the close-up experience?
No. I saw the session that was called Documentary Live Flashback.
Okay, what was that about?
Well, that was supposed to be six performers, and unfortunately one of them tested positive and couldn't make the venture. But it was six well-known names. I don't want to let anything out of the bag because it's...
Well, by the time this gets out, there'll be
okay.
just one more.
So Mike Cavity was the host. Mm-hmm. And they showed footage...
Mike Cavity. Yeah.
They showed footage of when Mike and Kalen... what's Mark Kalen?
Oh, you're talking about the on stage. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Yes, Mike Cavney had done that, and it was really kind of a one time only thing that he
yes.
was saying that you're never going to get to see. It
right.
hadn't been seen before because it wasn't stock footage. They just happened to recently have uncovered
yes.
some of these black and white presentations of these guys performing back in the '60s and '70s.
Yeah. Completely yeah. different than what they do now.
Right, like Mark Kalen was doing yeah. his pool shark act,
which was quite enjoyable, especially the mustache falling off. But to see them go back and recreate that, I mean, Paul Gertner coming out in a 3-piece white tuxedo.
And white shoes and everything.
White shoes and everything, yeah.
And silver hair looked perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunately, Jeff Hobson was the missing performer.
Yep.
That would have been phenomenal to see.
Yeah. Testing positive.
But to see Tina Leonard doing her mime and some of those moves.
Yeah, that
still,
doll act. And
yes.
she was doing something with Dick Cavett way
yeah.
back when on the television show.
Yes. So it, and of course, the legend from Bavaria. I can't remember what they called.
Matt King. I can't remember it was.
Yes, but his early routine.
Yes, where he wore Viking horns. Back apparently when he used to work with Lance Burton.
Yeah.
And,
so that was a most enjoyable. Didn't know what it was going in, you know. And I think it was great. I think it played well.
But yeah, it had a great. I was expecting something completely different. I thought they were going to be just kind of having a recap of some of the past Magic Lives and things like that. But yeah, to see these guys. And then, of course, Mike Cavney, as he closed, was doing his thimble act that he was, I guess, known for back at the time, back when, of course, Mark Kalen was known for his pool shark act. And everybody
yeah.
had it. The basic thing about that evening last night was about the journey. In other words,
yes.
we are today where we are because of the path we have taken that has been perhaps less traveled and more difficult. It has been quite circuitous to get to where we are. We haven't been on a path saying we're going to do this. And it showed these people who are brilliant today and they were yesterday, but the path they took and they didn't continue on that. They learned things from that and they continued to change and say, okay, what can we do better? Or then throwing it out completely.
Yeah. Evolve.
You know?
Yeah.
And evolve. Exactly right. So that was kind of the takeaway from the evening show was the journey of magic to get to where we are. You know?
Yep. Yeah.
The close-up, I thought, was great as well. It's going to be out again tonight.
Yeah, I'm supposed to see that tonight.
I don't know if I can tell you about it, but I guess I probably can because people, by the time they hear this podcast, everybody will have seen this. There are three performers, and for those who have attended Magic Live in the past, they have this great seating arena,
if you
will.
So it's that nice horseshoe that they had?
Correct.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that's
so
great.
It's raked that you look
yep.
down and everybody can see.
Very raked.
Yeah. Get there early to get a good seat. Well, I say good seat. I was on standby, and I had the back row, and I had a perfect
yeah.
view.
I was in the back row, in 19, I think, when they did it, or no, 18. And, it's just a great venue.
It is. And the three performers were just outstanding, starting with Pitt Hartling from Germany, and then Shuto Gawa, and then finishing with Aussie Wind. And three completely different performers, and everyone was a standalone closer that was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Doing cards, the cards that Aussie did were more signed cards. They're blank cards. People had signed when you come in. You sign these cards. He uses the deck of cards then. But the others, Pitt just used regular playing cards, and then Shoot was doing coins and spoons, and he was just great. You're going to love it.
Good. So look forward to it.
So... and then the other thing was, I think, Discovery or something?
Yes, it was Rob Zabrecki and Stuart
McDonald.
It was called In Concert, The History of Magic. And while it was a comedic approach, it was completely opposite to what we had seen earlier in the showroom. Because, Rob is such a serious,
quirky performer.
And he definitely was... that last night, which was a great contrast to Stewart. And they took the book, The Discovery of Witchcraft, and they started at the beginning, and
yeah.
they just kind of picked periods in time.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting approach. I think it played well.
It was I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm seeing that this evening. And there are different other things opening tonight that I think is just like a one and out, and it's the Museum of the Arcane, which we're not going to see. I mean, it wasn't there last night, but it's coming this
evening.
Yeah,
I think so.
They kind of set
right.
it, because that's one of those things they've had in the past where it's just set up for the day and then it's gone.
Right, it's the exhibit. They always seem to have an exhibit night.
Yeah.
Where there's a room that everybody can just go through and see the exhibit. So.
Yeah, and if you miss it, you miss it, because it's not going to be there then later. And
yep.
Then I think that's probably about all that we see that was happening yesterday. That sounds like a lot, and it was a lot, and we've got a lot of people here. But then it's also just the people who are hanging around, you know, and seeing
yes.
people like you and others. That
I think because we haven't had this event for 2.5 years, that everybody is more focused on the connections and the people and seeing those people and interacting more so than sitting in a chair in a room. I mean, people are sitting in the chairs in the room, but...
But we're next to human beings
yes.
instead of sitting in the
yeah.
Zoom room.
And people we haven't been able to see, so... Yeah.
That's right. This year, people might be wondering, well, Scott, was there a theme this year? I can't say there's one that was that comes to mind.
Because
in the past it's been like friends or, you know, one word kind of a thing.
Well, you know, right here in the thing, they're calling it Celebrate.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yep. Celebrate.
Well, you know, that makes sense.
Yep.
Because remember when they had the listing of the people who had passed over the last year,
yep.
they said, we're not going to have an in memoriam, we're going to call this in celebration.
Yes.
And they
did a
had
nice job.
They
on
did
it.
A great job. They could have had a lot more people, but what they did is just mention some of the people who actually were tied to Magic Live, who
yes.
had performed here or have been registrars. And others. So it was a little bit different. And the same thing than last evening's show, I guess, now that you mentioned that, they were celebrating the journey that people have taken and what they have done and accomplished, you know, along the way to get to where they are today. You
yep.
know? So I guess, yeah, celebrate is the theme. So take that back. It wasn't clear to me until you just read that. So I'm glad you did.
Yep.
Well, any other closing comments as we start starting today? Anything you're looking forward to? Or anything you bought at the dealer's room?
Too much. Actually, this year I had a pre-planned hit list, and I stuck to it on opening night.
Good man.
And then yesterday, picked up a few other things. Other than that, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of toys there.
There's yeah, well, really you know how it is.
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, unfortunately, I do.
I'm hoping things I might not use, but in the moment I go, I think I like that. So, a highlight for me, I will say, is meeting Craig Petty. From England, and he's in the Penguin booth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you spend some time talking to him?
I did, and it was very nice. Yeah, I like a lot of the stuff that he does. He has, he's kind of a card guy and some other things, but
mm-hmm.
I like his thought process, and I like him just as a person. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
So.
Had you met, this is the first time you
yeah,
met?
Yeah, I'd never met him before. I wasn't even familiar with him until maybe the past year.
Yeah.
Couple of the projects he put out, you know, how it is. Something will either speak to you or not.
Right.
So.
Well, thank you, Dan. Daniel, appreciate
well,
that
you,
a lot.
Scott. It's good to see you, seeing as how you were responsible for bringing me into this crazy mass of people in magic back in 15.
Yeah, I was so flattered whenever we had our thing and they said, who was it that is instrumental in magic and you put your names. You know, thank you to so-and-so on your name badge, and you said yeah. me, so thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that. And also, thanks for being a friend, and speaking of buying things at the dealers, those who aren't at the Magic Live, perhaps just saving some money, which means you might be able to make a donation. Let me throw that in there while I'm here.
That's
we could certainly use that. But it seems like over the past couple of years, we've had people who've had to delete or to alter, reduce their pledges due to obvious reasons. But as things maybe hopefully start to turn around, it'd be great. We haven't really added any new Friends of the Magic Word or had any new donations for quite some time, and I have not been appealing to you as feel like NPR or PBS, but I haven't done that in a while. But I thought I'd just throw in a pitch that if you can help us out, we certainly would appreciate it. You can go to themagicwordpodcast.com where you can find a tab there where you can join the Friends of the Magic Word and find out how you can help us with your financial support. So thank you very much, and thank you also, Daniel, again for being a
My
friend
pleasure.
In so many ways. Appreciate it, and thanks for helping giving us a recap. So until later, and in the day, we got a lot more, a lot of stuff here to do. That was Daniel Will and Scotty Allen. We can do that.
Awesome.
We can wander as we wander.
I haven't been able to make a full lap yet.
Well, it's not quite as busy as it normally is. I'm here with Nick DeFat right now. Hey there, Nick.
Scotty in. Hello, everyone.
So good to see you. And how's your book sale? How are sales doing?
It's wild. We're down to less than 10 now.
And how many did you have published? You get 1,000 of them?
The printing was 2,000.
2,000,
yeah.
Okay. So and I know, so people just don't misunderstand, there are more, so you can still get it. It's just
that
here.
Pre-order now. Yeah, okay. If you pre-order at Squash Publishing, Gabe will have them hopefully by early June. They're on a ship in Long Beach, so we're kind of waiting on, you know, the other 80 ships in front of it, but hopefully in a timely manner.
So, that supply chain problem thing.
Yeah, it's all interconnected. There are printers that can't even get paper right now.
Wow.
But the deluxe editions are going really fast, if anybody's interested in any of that. But
what's the difference between the deluxe edition? It has a slipcover, right?
Custom slipcase with the embossing on it. It comes with a bunch of my merch, like two posters. One of them is a limited edition just for the book. Lens cloth thing. The full contact. It was other product that I released. You get the videos from that, which has like exclusive footage of Mullica teaching his version, the original version, mm-hmm. that you can only get with the product, and a couple other things. So, yeah.
I thought it was great that conversation mm-hmm. that you had yesterday in the session and talking about how to use something that is underutilized.
Yeah.
You overuse something that's underutilized.
Totally. We did a stage queuing talk for the first time. It kind of took a little peek into into my extensive overuse of that.
And so. I know you always prefer to use a handheld versus a lav or a wireless mic for that reason also, I guess.
Yeah, and I assume, so you're yellow. Did you see the first one?
I did.
Okay, so in the second one, I actually used a handheld and was able to do it instead of just alluding to it over and over again.
I thought that was a funny story when you were talking about where they had those choir microphones at one time in some show you were doing, and so they picked up everything.
And so they heard basically the whole act. So,
including the queuing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to more things you're going to be doing. And
thank you so much.
So you're going to be taking Matt King's place eventually once he retires soon.
No, he's eternal, I hope.
Well, let's certainly hope so. 100%. I think you got some fans over here then, too. And so it's good seeing you. Thanks a lot, Nick. And
likewise.
Good luck.
Talk
to you later.
So much. Nick out.
Scotty out. All right. So while we're still in the dealer room, it's the first time I've seen Gabe Fiore without a huge crowd around. You've been doing pretty well, it seems like, at least from the look of all the people around your booth.
Yeah, well, Nick's book has been very popular. I'm looking at the last 5 copies out of the 150 I brought. It's been a very lively, active, you know, dealer room. I'm very happy.
I think Stan has really done a good job. He always does good with this, and I know he also requests everybody to have something new that has been offered any other place, and so everybody comes with an expectation. Oh, I'm going to get the newest and greatest,
sure.
And this is the place to come.
Absolutely.
And so Nick's is the newest and greatest book, huh?
I don't even have
Max Bellini too, I guess.
That's about a month and a half old, but yeah. This I don't even have more copies back at home. I mean, I'm waiting for the big shipment to come in from overseas, and
right.
Lord only knows when that'll be. So
and when they're down there,
when they're in Chicago, there then we'll ship the other order.
I was talking to Nick about that. He was saying it's part of the supply chain, so backed up.
Yeah, they can't. They're in California and have been for weeks, and every 2 days I write and I say, "What's the story?" And they say, we don't have enough train cars, we don't have enough drivers, we don't have enough truckers.
So it's there just literally waiting to be picked up?
Right. Hurry up and wait. It could be another 3 weeks for all I know.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I'm just kind of held hostage by the situation, but, you know, I'm sympathetic to it. I'm not driving the truck, you know what I mean?
Of course. Now, between this and August, have you got anything else? Are we going to be going to the IBM convention in Atlanta?
No, I'll be at the next convention I'll
Abbott's?
Be at is Abbott's, yeah.
That's what I was wondering. In August, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
You're not going to Quebec?
No, I travel so much for work for Potter & Potter. I can only go to so many conventions a year because I'm always going to look at a collection or pick one up. I'd like to go to Quebec, but it's just too much.
When is the next Potter & Potter auction?
Saturday.
And who's it going to be featured?
Some unbelievable Houdini stuff that has been in the Houdini family, actually, for like over 100 years that's never been offered at that auction.
Wow.
The first known photograph of Houdini performing a magic trick.
Who are you expecting to come in? The usual suspects, I guess, of John Cox and David Copperfield?
I think it'll be a lot of people. I think, you know, that's a historically significant piece. Mm-hmm. You know, Library of Congress doesn't have one of those. I mean, it's literally the first photo of them as teenagers performing the Metamorphosis.
With him and Bess, or him and his brother?
Him and his brother when they were the Houdini
Hardeen.
Brothers. Yeah, Hardeen, yeah. 18 years old and 16 years old.
So what is the estimated value that's going
to
be?
$15,000 to $25,000. So we'll see where it goes from
now,
there.
Now, this last one, I was talking with Chip, and he was telling me that there were some pretty high prices for the Houdini things. Something went for $175, or what was the... Am I thinking about the light heavy chest, or there was
that
something?
That was more like $150 for that. Okay. The last sale, last Klosterman sale we did... Well, that was... You're taxing my memory. I
don't remember. It was, okay. Yeah. That sounds about right. Maybe that was what he was talking about, was the light heavy.
Could be. That could be, yeah. And then we sold a Germaine's Rosebush in there for over $100,000. We sold, I mean, it was a spectacular. It's the highest grossing all magic auction of all time.
What was the total at the end?
It was just under $2 million.
Yeah. And all in one day?
All in 5 hours.
And for those people who haven't watched this, number one, you can order a catalog and get information, beautifully photographed catalog. Who is it now that David Linsell's gone? Who photographs this?
Shelby Ragsdale, our photographer. Okay. She's fantastic.
Beautiful catalogs that you have. So you can order the catalogs, and also that you can watch the auction online, even if you're not bidding, just kind of seeing the things. It's fun just to watch things and the way they go.
If you like bad jokes, I'm your guy.
You keep things moving along.
Try
I wouldn't
to.
Say. And
try
you got
to. Try to, yeah.
It's hard to be an MC for 5 hours.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And do mental math at the same time.
Yeah. To handle all that stuff. Yeah, it's going through there. Well, it's been great. And that so you hopefully have less stuff to carry back with you.
Already, a mission accomplished on that front already.
That's excellent. Yeah. Well, it's good seeing. What have you enjoyed the most? Or have you had a chance to see anything outside?
I don't go to the events, unfortunately. I'm man in the booth.
Because you're the only
I'm
man.
I'm the guy. Okay. I'm the man in the booth.
I'm the one right now keeping people from buying stuff from you while
it's
I'm
okay.
bothering you. Thank
All
you
right,
very
Scott.
Much, Gabe. This is for the Magic Word Podcast. Gabe Uhrig at Potter Potter. Scotty out. So as we're walking and talking from the dealer's room, I have with me a good buddy of mine and friend of yours, Sue Rudy Colby. Hey, Rudy.
Hello, Scott.
Scotty N. I am good. It's good to see you here, and you wearing your Vans? Of course you're wearing your Vans.
Of course.
How many pair of Vans shoes do you have, by the way?
I always have at least three pairs.
That you travel with, you mean?
No, I don't travel with any. I always have two pairs for the show that are perfectly clean, and then one pair that I wear.
Do you throw them in the laundry? I mean, just in the washer?
No, I don't do that because I've known Steve Van Doren, who his father created Vans. So he, I've been sponsored for 30 years or more.
I know, because you get your Vans for free.
That's right. So I don't even have to carry them in my luggage.
Yeah.
So I go to China, I can call them up and say, oh, I'm in Shanghai or wherever. I mean, literally anywhere.
They can send them to you?
And not even sending. There's a Vans store in every
country?
City in the world. Yeah. Every city in every country in the world. So then... And Steve...
Sounds like Steve's kind of got, like, Randy Pitchford money.
He does. They bought the company 30 years ago. So he had hundreds of millions of dollars, but he stayed on as vice president in charge of marketing. So even though he has all the money in the world, he loves doing it. All the thousands of Van stores all over the world, he literally visits them all the time. So we can call and say Steve Van Doren called and Rudy Kobe's coming in to pick up his sneakers in whatever country it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, he also gave you, I assume, that Van Mobile. Could you have that, like, golf cart or something like a shoe?
Well,
he
didn't give it to me, but essentially what he does, so basically it's a giant shoe that I can drive around. And if I need it in Vegas or I need it in L.A. or, you know, you
mainly
basically
for parades,
has someone drive
I guess. Huh? Mainly in parades?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was amazing. They had two of them made, and then they were in Mexico. And they had they were on a soccer field, and then they had a giant soccer ball made. Yeah. It was like 15 feet in diameter.
And
they actually had
kicking it around.
Yeah, yeah, kicking it around the stadium. Amazing.
So, do you have any thing you're participating in with Magic Live this year, or are you just hanging out because you're local?
I'm hanging...
Talk about?
Yeah, well, no, I'm not. Basically, I've never really performed at Magic Live. For whatever reason, I've been every convention in the world, but I've never really... Because I was traveling around and all that stuff. And I used to do the Stevens conventions in Vegas, and IMX when it was here and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So Stan reached out to me and basically made me my girlfriend Anna Rose MCs for the morning, just to introduce the
sessions on the focus,
the sessions, the focus things. Yeah. So I think he, for people like me or Fielding West, you know, he'll just invite us and, you know.
That's what I was talking to Fielding about, saying, hey, you're going to be doing anything. And he said, is this where we're going? Over here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Fielding was saying, I'm not performing, but I am going to be an MC for some of the focus groups. So that's what we must be having you do that then as well. So have you been enjoying any the show? And what have you gotten the most out of so far?
I would say that, yeah, my favorite thing was probably Nick DeFont.
Yeah.
His talk, yeah. And, I thought it was really incredibly, you know, dense information, maybe over the audience's head in a way. I mean, he made it very interesting, but...
He only had 15 minutes to talk about something that really should take a lot longer.
Well, I mean, you could talk hours about it, but it's amazing because, I mean, I literally... He's one of my best friends, and we lived in Randy Pitchford's house
for a year.
Yeah, during COVID. So, so I you know, I know Nick's act, you know, really, you know, I mean, because we've had thousands of hours of conversation about like that kind of detailed stuff, and the stuff that he talked about in that lecture was stuff that we haven't even talked about
during the hours you talked about over here.
And believe me, we've gone through it, like all the influences and all that. So,
and for those people who are listening wondering what the heck was he talking about, it had to do with stooging, well, or I should say sage whispering your volunteers on stage,
right? Yeah, so
or directing, sage directing them so the audience can't hear, but your volunteer can.
It's kind of a lost art. It's like, you know, George Schindler's Little Red Table, or is that, that's Carol Fox's, I guess, but I learned for George Schindler. But, yeah, the things where you're kind of, you know, making an assistant from the audience your secret stooge.
Yes.
You
right.
know, and Nick right. basically, you know, he made a joke that 65% of his act used to be that. You know, and I was out in the audience, so I was like, well, 60% still kind of is, you know. So, but he's really, he's very private about that stuff. So it was surprising that.
And he opened up to talk about that. Maybe he figured people would just say, huh, that's interesting.
Well, I think that's exactly what, and the thing was,
like he buried it.
It was funny because I just saw him upstairs. I was complimenting him and you know, telling him that, you know, how much information. I was surprised how much information he actually was giving away in the lecture and, or in his talk. And, but also, people haven't necessarily seen Nick DePot's act, you know. So,
wow.
I mean, no, really. So, okay. I mean, he, you know, he may or may not be performing soon at this convention.
Yeah.
So people will maybe catch up, but I think that he maybe, I don't know, it's a rumor that maybe he maybe he was going to be performing earlier, and then so that lecture would have been after. Which would have made more sense, right?
Better place.
So when he, and so he's very entertaining anyway, and people know he has a book out, so I think it's going to be very funny. Let's just say if he performed another day, let's just say if he did, maybe there would be, it would be...
people would rush, they would understand.
Well, no, now people will kind of understand what he was even talking about, which is interesting. You know?
Right. Is this who we're going to be going and chatting with?
I think there's only two of them.
Okay.
Here.
You think that's okay?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
It's not going to interrupt too much, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Where's Emily?
Yeah, where's Emily?
I don't know.
She went
home?
She went to the restaurant.
Well, we were planning on having a little chat over there, but they're not all together yet.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do this in a later
time. There's a secret. Yeah, that's one of the projects I've been working on in the past you know, couple months. Very interesting.
Okay. Which we'll talk about at a later time.
Yeah, we will.
If you guys are interested or listening, just email me and say, I want to hear more from Rudy. And I'll make it a point. We'll talk.
Yeah, I just want to let you know that's funny is I have been listening to your reports every night, you know. Like, put it in my ear as I go to sleep to see what I've missed, you know.
Well, thank you. Thank you. All right, well, Rudy, thanks very much. Appreciate you. It's always a good pleasure to chat with you. So, that was Rudy out.
Yeah, Rudy out. Lab man out.
Lab man. Focus sessions with R. Paul Wilson. And earlier today, we just had the first general session, and we're kind of in between focus groups. And right now, I'm here with Neil Stonker. Hey there, Neil. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
I'm very glad to chat with you here. I've been wanting to for a while. I saw you at the Magi Fest earlier this year and did a really great job. Jugglers always do a great job, which, by the way, you are a juggler. So.
Correct, yes, I love to juggle.
You also love magic, or, I mean, why?
Yeah, I love magic, too. Like, to Ger Kopper in the Magic Arts Center in the Netherlands. I got more used to magic. And I have a couple magic effects in the show, not as much in my regular shows. But it's very juggling. It's almost like if you want to do an entire show, just card manipulation or something. It's very hard because you have just the moves, but what's the storyline between the moves? And it's the same with juggling. You have the tricks. But like, it's very hard to find a storyline between the tricks.
I would think so. For juggling, it's just like, okay, I do balls, I do clubs, I do fire, I do, you know, whatever. Yeah, fire. I try and say hatchets or chainsaws. But
yeah, and also the between the different tricks, there's not so much like a natural connection. So you have to find it.
Yeah.
And so there's no juggling books that explain how to make a juggling show. But there's magic books on how to do a magic show. So that's where I got a lot of my information and inspiration, and I try to apply that knowledge on a juggling show, because with juggling there's no information available. So that's why another reason why I love going to these festivals.
Did you have someone who was a mentor teaching you juggling, or did you learn from books or video or what?
Yes, I have various people that have helped me, but like, there was not a single guy that I could find that was like, okay, that's the, he has the full picture. So for like 6 years, Daniel Holtzman from the Raspini Brothers, he helped me with comedy writing. But then he's good technically, but not with the numbers juggling that I like to do. So now Albert Lucas, who is an excellent juggler, he is teaching me how to do 12 rings. So it's like I looked for people that are very good at their niche, and then I learned that, and then it's my job to put it all together to make the show that I wanted before.
Do you live in the States full-time? You're from the Netherlands originally then? And
So I was born and raised in the Netherlands, and then I did cruise ships for like 8 years. Got a little tired of that after 8 years. Now I'm looking forward to doing them again. But then in Pigeon Forge, David Fee and Jim Hedrick, they had the Comedy Barn Theater, and they invited me to be part of that show, which was an excellent opportunity to be in the same venue, in the same space for a longer time, so you don't have to travel but still get to do more shows. So more of the stuff that I enjoy doing and less of the stuff that I that just came with the job.
When you are on cruise ships, usually cruise ship magicians will work like a 45-minute show or something. Jugglers don't do a 45-minute show, do you?
Actually, I do, and there's other some other friends do it as well, but it's more rare. Like, so it's, I think with magic you have different disciplines. You can something float, something like this 7 or whatever, 13.
Elemental effect.
And with juggling, if you look at it that way, you go, you can throw stuff and you can balance stuff, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
So it's more difficult to create a longer show with juggling. That
David
is
Diebel is someone who's taken it to a different level, in which he finds different things that he can do with balancing coat hangers, like you said, on his nose, or catching something, a marshmallow or whatever. And then he does comedy in between, so he kind of combines the two and making it a longer show. Do you do a lot of talking in your show then too?
I do, yeah, like it's maybe 50-50. But then if you think like stand-up comics, they can have like a long show.
True.
So then if you think, okay, then if you think you're for your show, it's like, okay, I'm approach it that way, but I intersect like really cool tricks, then suddenly the task doesn't seem as daunting anymore, because then you have an example how you can get to it, and it's like, okay, I talk and I do cool tricks, instead of like, okay, how do I do just cool tricks for 45 minutes and keep it interesting.
Did you ever get a chance, I'm assuming you didn't meet Gary Kopper?
Actually, he was one of my best friends,
Was he really? Okay.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, you look too young to have remembered him.
Yeah, Ger had a studio, and we created an act together. Actually, it was a juggling magic act.
Ah, okay.
So, because I explained this problem to him, and then he was like, okay, let's... And he was also like...
I mean, you look like you're 18, that's why I was...
Okay, thank you so much. I'm 36, so double the age. But Ger was awesome, so, and then he passed away like 2 years ago, so it was super sad. But like, the way of thinking, how he created acts, because he created so many wonderful acts, and with Jan and Marcel, Prince of Illusions, and they all got, all these guys won prizes at FISM. So it was like a track record. If you help work with him, I mean, four or five people won something at FISM. Like, it's incredible. And then he helped me with the way of thinking, how to put some meaning to certain routines. And so he was one of my mentors as well.
Now, you're here at Magic Live Convention, and I know we just talked about you were working then also at the Magi Fest in Columbus earlier this year. Do you work many conventions now, or mostly corporate and cruise ships and theme parks?
It's a bit of a mix. So when I was at the Comedy Barn, that was like the main gig, so we did like two shows every day during the summer, and then throughout the winter, like one show a day. Now it's like state and county fairs, and I'm working on a... Yeah, actually I'm training a lot, because my goal is now to juggle 12 rings. So that's one of the things that I'm working on every day. So I go train at the community center twice a day.
Yeah.
And then I do the shows at the state and county fairs, because they pay pretty good, so that affords me then to train.
Because typically jugglers are are appreciated way out of proportion to magicians at magic conferences.
Yeah, every audience is different, and I think magicians, they really love magic. They love magic, but like they love juggling a lot because they know the skill. Like, it's so obvious. Like, the good thing with juggling is, besides being able to do surrounding and stuff, like, all your moves, they're out there. You don't have to hide anything. So if you do it well, it looks more impressive. With magic, the problem, if you do it well, nobody notices it.
I remember talking with Pat Hazel a couple decades ago, and he was saying that he appreciates jugglers more than magicians because you can't go to a juggling store and buy three clubs and juggle tonight, whereas you can go and buy a deck of cards and do a show tonight. You know, magicians can learn a trick and do it almost immediately. Jugglers actually take a lot of skill.
Yeah. Well, I think with the good magicians, you cannot buy your act somewhere, so you need to develop it. So I think its problem is like the lowest entry level for magic is lower because you can get somebody's script, you can with somebody's props, and with juggling that shortcut is not there.
Right.
And it's maybe the same than if you have a singer or something. Mm-hmm. You can just buy sheet music and then just perform somebody else's song.
Right.
And then and that's also then the entry level is lower, but then you can work with the material from the really great.
Right.
So that's why also juggler, like it's hard in the beginning to get started because, like, with kids' birthday parties or shows, people see so much bad juggling.
Right.
So then to rise to the top to get the respect, that's more difficult to get to that point. Because, and it's too, like, when you do jokes and you do somebody else's jokes, not appreciated. But, like, if you're a singer and you do somebody else's song because you bought it, that's cool.
Right, yeah, that's different. That's interesting. Well, now we're here at Magic Live. What have you enjoyed or seen today or yesterday so far?
I got in yesterday late, so I've only seen a little bit, but I'm so impressed with the quality of the speakers and the presentations. So one thing this morning was with the general sessions.
Yes.
And they spoke about some of the stuff that we're talking about now. Like, it's like with putting a premise to the tricks and how difficult it is. If, for example, if you do card manipulation to do that. And then I go, okay, how can I, with lessons here, because they're talking about magic, but like I do a juggling show. So how can I take all the information that is presented here, turn it into information that is useful for me, and it was so cool. Like, some of those things were like spot on, and some of the things that subconsciously I know, and then it clicks and you go, okay, now I understand what I always felt in the show.
Right.
Like how to create a juggling show and what to look for, and yeah, with a deeper meaning, because with juggling you don't have the storyline as with magic. But then he was like, okay, with these moves we really like and want to perform them, so I have to keep them short, or I have to do this and this way. And I go, okay, that's so smart, because
it's not about the method, it's about the effect.
Yeah, so that thing with magic, like, there's part of it's about the methods and stuff, but then a lot is about psychology, performing art and stuff. And if I'm on stage and I'm doing the same variety art but different, there's so much interesting stuff. And that was one of the points this morning. I was like, wow. Like, I felt it for years and now I understand it.
That's great. Well, Niels, thanks very much. Also, good to see you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So for the Magic World Word Podcast, that was Niels Dunker. Scotty out. All right. So we have, again, finished the afternoon sessions and the focus groups and everything, and we're just having an opportunity for a lunch or a dinner break or a meal break, depending on what time you wake up of the day. And I'm here with my friend and yours, Seth Kramer. Hey, Seth, how's it going?
Hey, how are you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. Thank you for asking. And tell me, have you been enjoying this convention so far?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Really great time. It's just so great to be out of, to be with other comrades, at this thing.
Speaking of comrades, I think it's interesting. I noticed that you were sitting over there with a couple of guys who were other trade show magicians.
Yeah.
Then as well, you had Shep Hyken, and I saw you with Paul Gertner and everybody. Gertner, and sometimes whenever I see the mind readers, I see like the Evasons that are sitting with some of the other mind readers. Seems like birds of a feather kind of a thing.
We've been friends for so long, So we kind of plan that in advance. We all know we're going to be here, and we all come to it.
What have you seen so far that you really have loved or liked?
Well, I loved seeing all my friends. That's really been a highlight. But as far
after 2 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And some of them I haven't seen even longer than that. But this has been really really a great convention. Stan always does such a great job. We just saw Eric Mead at the spent an hour with him over at the close-up sessions there. Mm-hmm. And the show with Rob Zabrecki yesterday was really, really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And the general sessions were always very, very interesting. Really, Luis de Matos did a great job.
That does stand out in my mind.
That stands out in my mind. Just amazing what he was able to accomplish during this pandemic.
Uh-huh.
mind-boggling. You know, I look at what I was able to accomplish and what he was able to accomplish, and I feel very inadequate.
That was one of my questions. I often ask people over here about what you've been doing during the last 2 years when you've had some time. Think, okay, well, it's going to go a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then it goes on. And at some point you're saying, okay, I'm going to have to dig in, and maybe this project that I've been putting on the back burner is time for me to do. Have you done anything like that over the time?
Well, you know, like anybody else, you know, we all had to pivot. We all had to make a living. So I did pivot at one point after, you know, really heavy deliberation to do some virtual shows, which... You know, I learned a lot. I'm happy that I did it because I learned a lot about something called ECAM and took a class from a guy in England who did this along with some of my other trade show friends and was able to put together a pretty good presentation, all things considered. But I just, in the end, found it a real soul-sucking experience.
Well, I can understand that, particularly whenever that as a trade show magician that you're used to having large groups right in front of you all the time and trying to get them interested in the product.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's really, I need that. I need the contact. I need to be, you know, yeah. my whole, you know, I perform close-up magic, you know, probably, you know, even strolling magic, probably at 100,000 tables or more in my life, you know, and I think about those, you know, people and how many, you know, probably over a million people,
you know,
one by one by one by one, literally one by one. So it's really, this was a totally different experience and not one that I choose to go back to anytime soon.
That's kind of like with Franz Ferrari, who's performing for millions of people, and you're really more individual based.
I need the interaction.
I think that some of the interesting things, by the way, going back to the convention that we had, like in the session today, I had not heard of or knew any of the people who they were talking to today who were talking about their journey, basically, who are robot people.
Right, you know? Yeah, I never heard of them, although I am interested in that topic, all the way from Robert Houdin, you know, and always been interested. The automata, yeah. I've always wanted to see Johnny Gaughan's collection, and someday I hope to see that.
You will. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And those are kind of nice. Not everything is based on magic, you know. Things can be magical, but not necessarily magic, and you know, it's always nice to learn something different.
And that's one of the advantages here, I think. Again, you do get to see such a broad variety. It's not necessarily, well, a lot of magic conventions could be that way. Let's say an IBM or SAM convention, but this is not so much about tricks as it is about the engagement, the theory behind it, I think.
Yeah, you know? And that's what I like about it. I like exploring topics that I don't know a lot about.
And internationally, I think we get to hear other people from different cultures bringing in their input.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the Japanese manipulator who was on this morning was really, really very interesting, really fantastic. And David Riegel did a fantastic job working that conference.
He is my buddy. I think David Riegel did a great job. We're talking. Hey there, David. Right now, there you are, David. Yep, you stepped into it, man.
You got to talk.
You didn't see the microphone.
The size of this microphone is making me feel insignificant.
I thought it was funny you said that even that Yuki was taller than you, the Japanese guy.
You can't actually mention the nationalities. I realize now.
Oh, you can't.
No, I can't mention nationalities, but yeah, I think generally the Asian population of the world is considered to be of smaller height than Americans, and yet I'm much shorter than you.
Well, we were just several people I've talked to today have said that was really a highlight. One of the things you were talking about today, the importance of the effect over the method. Method's important, but I love that analogy of saying, okay, well, you take a peek and it's the three of clubs, and then you can spend $1,000 on something, and you can say, okay, it's a three of clubs. To the audience, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, you know, it was scary doing that talk because, for a lot of reasons. One is, you know, I'm out of practice like a lot of us are, and I wanted to remember it for one thing. But also, I didn't want to seem like I was coming on in some weird critical way or, you know, in some way that people are going to be offended. It's strange, though, how across magic so much emphasis is on method compared to the amount of emphasis on effect. It doesn't mean you need less emphasis on method. It just means it's weird there isn't that same emphasis on effect, yeah. So that's, you know, I think about these things. I literally think about these things at night, and I am glad to have someone to talk to.
Well, the things you put them in your book. I mean, the things that you had already, where you have not only the tricks, but also you have some of the other smaller monographs, if you will, that talk about those things.
I like the way he said monographs.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like a Mark Twain suddenly.
Well, they're important. You know, people, they're
right
nuggets.
Now
Scott,
is
Scott
where,
knows a lot of $2 words.
Where is the freaking dealer's room? I am lost.
I'm heading that way myself,
okay.
Actually.
Yeah.
So, well, you going to go spend some more money there?
I haven't spent any yet. Yeah. So I want to reward myself for a job over by buying my
job. Well done.
Thank you. I need to buy something, A, I don't need, and B, I have no room for. And that should be accomplished easily.
Yeah, very easily.
Buy something
good
big. Buy a book. So, Seth, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
I appreciate it. It's good talking to you. And take care, and I will see you down the road.
You got it.
Till later.
Have a good one.
Seth Kramer, Scotty out, and David Riegel. We just finished one of the afternoon. Actually, I just finished the last afternoon session of focus groups. A couple things are going on, and ran into a friend I haven't seen in a long number of years, Tom Cutts. Hey, Tom, how's it going? Cue ball.
Good. I still love that story when Vaynerchuk walked out and he's like, "Am I missing something? Because everybody's calling me cue ball."
So, just the inside joke over here. Cue ball, or Tom, was working with LNL videos for how many years? You were
Oh, my God. I'm going to guess like 10, 12 years.
Is it that long? Okay.
Yeah. Of course, now after being in COVID, like people's judgment of years is shot. So
that's true. That's true. Time is irrelevant, yeah. It seems like, anymore. But during a time when Vaynerchuk and I were out there and doing the Sci Series videos and everything, you're working with the cue cards and everything else, and that I started calling you cue ball. So they
and
actually
stuck.
Kind of, it stuck, yeah. So I love that. He's the only guy I know as cue ball. So anyhow, I haven't seen you in a while. So how is the convention going for you? I wanted to find out about just kind of your take on what you've been learning, what you've enjoyed, what you've seen.
It's really good. It is intriguingly broad in its spectrum, from the Zabrecki show, which was just like an avant-garde magic, tongue-in-cheekish, cool performance art thing, to not really knowing how much I was going to enjoy the flashback things of the, you know, the famous people we know doing their original routines that they sort of cut their teeth on,
right.
And then seeing them doing it and going, you know, that was actually more engaging than I thought it was going to be. So,
yeah. That was a surprise to me also, the documentary you're talking about over there. I was expecting a documentary film of sort, but there were films that were documenting people's lives and the beginning of how they got started in their journey of magic, basically, of seeing Mark Kalin, for an example, doing his pool shark act, you know.
Yeah.
And back in the 60s, and also Mike Caveney doing his thimble act, or Tina Turner, or Tina Leonard doing her doll act, and Matt King doing the Viking helmet comedy thing, you know. So yeah, it was completely different and unexpected and a lot of fun. What about other kinds of focus sessions? Have you gotten something out of some of the people? I mean, we just came out of the Alex Ramon thing here.
I was, again, it just emphasized how on Alex is on. When he is on stage, he is on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's talking, he was closing about confidence and the rest of that.
Yeah.
He owns that. That's it. When
when
the light's on, boom, he is on.
Yeah.
And that was crystal clear here. It's like he could switch from performing Alex to explaining the trick Alex, and it was entirely two different people. And you could see the energy. You could see everything he talked about in that whole thing.
Now, I'm not seeing the thing with Rob Zabrecki yet. Which one is that?
It's deceptively called The History of Magic, and it has very little to do with the history of magic. But it is a very fun kind of avant-garde show.
I think I see that later tonight.
Okay.
You know, possibly. So, have you seen the close-up experience yet?
I did. I actually got into it, one of the early ones, and it's a really cool experience. And of course, it's always that venue, but the seats are raked so steeply that everybody has a great view of it. So it's a very intimate, wonderful thing. And the performers, I guess I can't say who they were. But
well, yeah, you can. Yeah, because by the time this goes out, everybody will have seen that too. Yeah, Pitt Hartling, Shirogawa, and Ossie Wynn.
And Ossie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to pick a favorite because they all had completely different styles, but equally phenomenal.
Well, the interesting thing about that, because I was thinking about it, it's like Shoot is doing Shoot's material. Some of it has been tweaked and I don't want to say improved or whatever. It's sort of matured a little bit. And others of it are little new elements and bits that he's brought into it. So that was interesting. And I'm sitting there watching this stuff thinking, how many people know the history and the origins of that, you know, mm-hmm. and even guys like Pit Hartling and Ozzie Wynn, they've been doing the close-up shows frequently, so
right.
a lot of the people here are going to recognize their material, but, you know, especially from the L&L days, it's like, do you know what it was like when the first Bill Malone tapes were being done, and the first
what was that like? And
actually, every time a first performer came in, it was a truly magical experience, because, and I'm sure you and Banachek can attest to this as well, they come in kind of cold and not knowing what to expect.
Right.
And literally, my purpose for being there, I wasn't actually an employee or anything, I was just invited to hang out for the weekend, mm-hmm. was to make sure that whatever you guys needed got taken care of.
Yeah.
So if
you're kind of our bummer in a way.
Yeah, we need this, yeah. yeah. It was just like, and it
go
was
for
it.
Go to guy, whatever we need.
I wasn't in the production side of it, so I could be like a little bit removed. Mm-hmm. And see, like, oh, he doesn't have the pen he had. Go get a pen. And then when he's ready for the pen, they're like, there it is. So it was that type of thing. And just putting the performers at ease. I remember, I think it was probably a Bill Malone shoot that he was just like, I don't remember whether it was the first one or the second one, but he was just like, how's it coming across? How's it going?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's... I was sort of a middle person. I wasn't the tech crew. I wasn't the film people. I wasn't Lewis telling them, you know, whatever Lewis had to have.
Well, it was really a lot of fun. And then the fact we had different people, they would come out and feed us. They had a chef that would come into the place. It was, and the way they treated the audience as well as the performers and putting us up in the house and everything. And it was just a great experience, that's for sure.
Well, that's one thing that I think is lost in just watching the videos is how somebody's living room became that theater, and the people came in, there was a break, the people had a lunch, wonderful lunch,
yeah.
they sat, those people watched like 8 hours worth of magic and never really seemed dead. They were,
I remember,
always alive.
One of my favorite experiences then also then, Thomas, whenever we were the crowd had left, and we had the chef who was there, and Johnny Thompson and Fielding West were, I think, in Tahoe or in Reno or someplace nearby, and they came over and we had dinner there with Louis Flanga and everybody, and it was just a wonderful evening dinner. You know.
That happened very frequently. It's like whoever was in Reno or in Tahoe would come over and have dinner because they wanted to meet with the people who were doing the shoot or whatever. So there was a lot of elbow rubbing and just sort of hanging out and telling stories and just having fun, like hanging out. And that's like, for me, that was the payoff. It was like I got to hang out with these people.
Yeah.
And to some extent be a fly on the wall.
Well, I've got to let you go, but just one last thing. When we were just talking before we got on with the microphone over here, was that some people have asked me before that it would be great if you can get in touch with some of the people who were in the audience, like you said, John, and some of the other people who were fan favorites, I guess, basically, of getting them on the podcast to kind of get what their take was of what they did and how they got on the show and everything. So I think it would be a lot of fun. So hopefully through you I might be able to reconnect and maybe get to talk to some of these people in the future.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I think I'll see, but they're still connected through the staff, and we'll go from there.
I'm putting you on the spot right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Q-Ball. I appreciate it. Man, this has been fantastic.
Thanks,
good seeing you. So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Tom Cutts, a.k.a. Q-Ball.
Scotty, yeah.
So we are now at the Rob Zabrecki Show. What is this called? The History? I'm sorry, with Alex Boyce. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Scott.
So what is this called? The Discovery of Magic or something like that?
I just gave away my ticket.
Yeah,
History of Magic.
History of Magic.
Yeah,
which, history, i.e., kind of like the...
Discovery of Witchcraft.
Discovery of Witchcraft,
yes.
Exactly.
Surprises are in store.
And we last saw each other when we were at the get-together in Cola, Michigan, and we were there at the Amish farm.
Amish dinner.
That's right.
Delicious.
Are you going to be coming this year, by the way, again, or are you just, that was a one-off thing?
Definitely. I love Colin. You know, we'll see. Hopefully it can make it work.
So what do you think about this convention, by the way?
I'm so happy it's happening. It's so great to be with so many people. The first night was, like, almost overwhelming, just the gathering of everybody here. And, you know, I'll tell you what I've been doing is I've been getting autographs. So I went around.
Wow, no kidding.
And people have been so generous. Scott, I barely haven't talked to you. And so, would you tell your listeners what's going on? Because there's noises that they hear, I'm sure.
They heard a little bit here in the background. We're watching a video, and
some
I'm not
sort
sure
of
what
pre-show
it is.
Video. It looks like it's in reverse of, like, disturbing events. I'm
it
not sure.
It looks like the shuttle that blew up backwards.
Right. So that will be involved with our evening. It's setting the tone, maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, I'm having a great time at Magic Live. The general sessions have been wonderful. The shows have been great. And I've seen so many friends. Have I bought anything? No, but did you see the seance at Tannen's?
Yes, I did. You mean the table levitation?
Yes.
Did you buy that? I'm thinking about it.
I did, because it's very cool. It's an impromptu table levitation. And
it's called Lift?
Lift, that's right, at Tannen's.com. You can buy your own. I'm not even on the payroll. Here we are, commercial.
No, I did that. I saw that, and I experienced that, and I am considering it.
Yeah, I'm just always so impressed with what they do with building out the booth and making it an experience. They built, like, a secret back room in their booth. And
did you kind of grow up in Tannen's?
I did. I grew up at the shop and going to the camps, and then was honored to work there for a couple of years, and it was a great time. And so I'll always have a connection with Tannen's. Adam Elbaum over here worked at Tannen's in the Tony Spina days.
That was a while back.
He's got some incredible stories.
If we only had time. We have so little.
I'd recommend him as a guest sometime.
I should probably have you on. Yes. Definitely so. Any other conventions you're planning on doing? Or are you?
As they come up. You know, I'll say it's hard to plan for things more than 3 or 4 months in advance right now for me.
Yep.
Because as a magician, a lot of events are getting booked and shows are getting booked 3 or 4 months out instead of 6 months out, 7 months out. So it's hard to know when I'm have a free week.
Because of COVID?
I think so, especially because, you know, things are a little unsure, a little uncertain at the moment.
Yeah, are we free or not? Is
exactly.
there another variant or whatever, right?
Exactly. So it's a little hard to plan in advance.
You haven't done any traveling overseas, I assume?
No overseas. Everything's domestic right now for me. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, a lot of domestic travel. In the next couple of weeks, I'm in Hawaii and Colorado and Nebraska and all over. If anybody is in Nebraska listening to this, there's a great show happening. It's called the Great American Comedy Festival. It's going to be myself, Matt Marcy, and Andrew Goldenhirsch. It's Johnny Carson's hometown.
Yep.
And,
yeah,
the
Hazel
Smothers
too.
Brothers. Yeah, great. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Pat Hazel's hometown. Dick Cavett, too. Yeah.
I lived in Omaha for a while.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. That's where I got to
know
Pat, actually.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Awesome. What about you? How's your convention experience been?
I've been having just a wonderful time. Exactly, Alex, what you were saying as far as seeing friends, this has been an opportunity where we've had a lot of people who've been like a pebble in a slingshot, just ready to kind of let go and head out. And yeah, everyone's
absolutely
so anxious to get out. I mean, there's nobody here wearing a mask. I mean, as I look around,
not
I think
many.
I might see one. But
not many masks.
Not many masks. I think everyone is just kind of feels like, okay, well, I think we're good to go. And
yeah,
it's been I haven't heard of anybody leaving or any problems or anything. It's not like this is a super spreader or anything. So,
well,
anyhow, yeah, Vegas has been great. We've been having a lot of time. Did you come early or staying late? You going to see a show? Did you see a show?
Nope. Came on time. I have to leave on time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, one thing people have always said about Magic Live, and I've said myself before, is it's so big that you see people for 30 seconds and never see them again.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about this year, but that has not been the case for me. I feel like I've really been able to spend quality time
down
with a lot of people. Yeah,
true.
It's been really nice.
Well, that is true. I have run into some folks, and I've actually had some quality time to sit down and chat with them.
Yeah.
I'm actually coming out in June. I'm going to rent an Airbnb for the whole month of June.
Oh, cool.
So I can actually have time to actually see people, have breakfast and lunch, and not have to worry
fabulous
about running out of town or catching a flight or whatever.
Right.
Just quickly.
Great.
So,
well, that's nice.
To,
awesome.
To that then, too.
It'll be warm.
Well, are you planning on at all? Have you contacted Scott Pepper down in San Antonio for his theater?
No, I haven't.
There's an
but I've heard about
there
some cool stuff. Yeah, that's
yep
great.
Scott's here at this convention then also, and
awesome,
that's somebody you ought to think about coming down and checking
cool
out that show. Then
that
too
would be great. Yeah, yeah, I'll have to check it out.
You're still what's doing Monday Night Magic, I guess.
Monday Night Magic in New York, the McKittrick Hotel Speakeasy Magic, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So yeah, if you're in New York, please come check out the show. Enjoy it.
And where can they go for more information on that?
The McKittrickHotel.com.
There we go. Alex, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
By the way, just one last thing.
Yes.
You're one of the people who had attended the Magic Cuba. There were several of us I've noticed who have been here. I've talked about
including
that.
Including John Rose.
Yeah, John Rose even here. That's right. Yes. And it was one of the best conventions ever.
Ever.
I talked about this so many times for the podcast in the past of saying you guys should come in, and it was a one-off ever. They're never doing that again.
No. I can't imagine, even if they wanted to, I don't know how you could even do it. But, yes, remember every restaurant we went into, it was like, this is where the Pope ate, this is where President Obama ate. And the acts were amazing, the culture was incredible. And we got to see a very specific look at Havana because it was a government-sanctioned program.
Correct, for artists.
Yes, I remember walking down the street at one point, and there was a wall built across the middle of the road.
I don't remember that.
And we were like, what's over there? And they were like, no, come this way. It was really wild. But, you know, an amazing experience. And
the food?
Food was incredible. We stayed, you know, the hotel was filled with history, National. And yeah, everywhere you went, you go up to the bar and they go, what do you want? Do you want a rum and Coke or a mojito? And you go, well, maybe a Cosmo or something. No. You want a rum and Coke or a mojito?
Right. And a cigar.
Yes. I remember one afternoon I thought I'd get some ice cream. I walked around the middle of Havana, and I found a place with big pictures of ice cream and ice cream on the outside in Spanish. I go inside. They have empty ice cream containers. And I go and I say, is there any way I can buy any ice cream? And the woman looked at me like I was insane. She goes, why do you think we have any ice cream here? I was like, okay.
Well, never mind.
Yes. Because there's just those crazy circumstances. But, and the shows were amazing, and, yes, an incredible experience. It was lovely.
Did you attend anything here this evening? Have you seen the...
I saw the walkthrough exhibit with the automaton. That was amazing. The finale is just astounding. It's just incredible work and so inspiring. And it was cool. I love what they do at Magic Live. They've done in the past with some of the optical illusions and different painters where they talk to them in a general session and give them a little museum so you can get a closer look at the end of the night.
Yep, and the museum is really cool. Did you also see them one of the other shows? I mean, like, I just saw
Close-Up Show.
Truth, Lie, or whatever.
Didn't see that one yet, but yeah, the Close-Up Show was incredible. Pit Artling, Shudagawa, Aussie Wind, home runs, all around.
All great.
Yes,
yep.
Pit Artling, amazing.
All right, well, we're getting ready to go.
There we go.
And I would recommend, by the way, speaking of Rob Zabrecki, who's hosting this show this evening, you got to check out his YouTube videos.
Oh, aren't they amazing? The Seances, The Other Side.
The Other Side by Rob Zabrecki. Check it out.